And welcome back to Coast with our two special guests, L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar, as we talk about the occult. We'll also take your phone calls this hour next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar. And Russ, before the break, we were talking about satanic rituals and what they're trying to do, and I'll let you finish that up.
Sure. The technological side, George, that's the big issue, I think, that we need to take a look at, keep our eyes on, because in two of the areas, planetary defense weapon systems, Revelation 19:19, Armageddon, they need the most advanced weapons in human history when it comes to that. Secondly, we see this occurring with the Nazis all the way up to this date. I think there are many that fear the AI stuff and the connection, and there's no question the transhumanists want to download the human consciousness or the spirit of a person into those things. The scriptures predict this ability, but LA and I, we're both going to Montauk in about 8 days. We're going to be up there taking a look at everything. We understand the backdrop of that. It's part of the extension of what the Nazis were doing. Then, George, in less than 2 months, we're going to be hopping over to Geneva, Switzerland. They're going to take us down to CERN. And as you know, there's great concern everywhere of what that technology will open, what gateways, what doorways, what dimensions. Could it open the abyss? So that's part of the dark side development technology that they can use for the future.
And L.A., as you begin to probe and look at all of this with your upcoming book on disclosure, is there a tie-in with that?
Well, it doesn't. Certainly not overtly. I mean, the disclosure that we've seen has been on Tucker Carlson, but it's been picked up on other mainstream media outlets. I mean, the story of Commander Fravor's F-18 encounter with the classified UFO footage has been everywhere. I mean, everyone knows about it in the UFO community. That's disclosure. Something happened in December, and now about every 3 to 4 weeks, Tucker brings another guest on, and they talk about UFOs, and they talk about it in a way that I've never seen. I mean, it's just very, very straight ahead. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, this thing has been going on for decades, and those of us who have been talking about this, that you know, all of the members in the Tinfoil Hat Club, you know, we're not looked at as crazy people anymore, because it's the cat's out of the bag with Fravor's testimony and the footage from wherever it came from, obviously the deep state. But it begs the question, how does Fravor get on Tucker Carlson? The guy's an unknown. He doesn't have a book to sell, doesn't have a DVD, doesn't have a blog. He's essentially a non-entity. Where does the classified information, that UFO footage, where does that come from? Why did President Trump, even today, talk about the Space Force? What the heck is that?
Yeah.
So what we see, it's a combination of what's been deep underground on the planet, but what's coming down from the Prince of the Power of the Air. And, you know, Russ and I have talked about this numerous times, the idea of one of the Psalms states that the kings of the earth, and this ties into the book of Revelation, are gathered with their weapons pointed upward. They're trying to destroy the return of the king. And so all this culminates in that one battle. All this has been prophesied for thousands of years. I mean, it's there if people will, you know, plumb the depths of the guidebook of a supernatural, i.e. the Bible. It's all there. All this prophetic language is written thousands of years ago. And what seemed like just crazy fantasy, now we see it forming. We see it right in front of our eyes. It's beginning to happen, and I find that alarming.
To the phones now we go. Let's go to Lynn in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for calling.
Good evening. Thank you, gentlemen, for this subject, because this and the David Politis thing, the missing people thing, has been bothering me for years as well.
Oh, my, yeah.
And as a woman, we're taught to be very aware and vigilant just for our own safety, regardless of our age. It's like, you know, you street-proof the women. And when I was a younger woman, I'm older now, but when I was a very young woman in my early 20s, mid-20s, I traveled and worked, you know, in between years at university, that sort of thing. And I ended up in a rural area, beautiful, pristine part of Canada, won't tell you where, and ended up working in a restaurant. And within a couple of weeks of working at the restaurant, the woman that owned it, like a family owned it, said, you know, everybody that works here, you know, we always like to give this book out to the people that live in this, work for us. And it was a book, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's called Michelle Remembers.
I haven't, no. Tell
okay,
me about that.
Well, Michelle yeah. Remembers, it was one of the first regressive therapies, you know, past life thing.
Who wrote it?
I can't remember. All I remember was that it was spooky, freaky, crazy, satanic stuff. And it was all about this woman who, as a child, the whole group, like, I guess they were part of the coven. And this whole, so this was the book that they were using to groom us young 20-something women that were just casually working, sort of, you know, having an adventure before we went back to school or got married or whatever this group was going to be for the life. So here's where it gets really creeped out. I read the book. I thought, okay, and I come from an anthropology background, so I kind of took it as a sort of in an academic frame of mind, right? Until I went for Christmas dinner. That's right. My boss invited me for Christmas dinner. Everything was wonderful. It was one of the day Christmas dinners. So, you know, noon, you have the big dinner. And they were the chefs and cooks at the restaurant. So it was absolutely delicious, as you can imagine. And I'm solo for the first time in my life. I'm not with family and friends for Christmas. At the end of the meal, they said, oh, well, you're a Christian, because I grew up in a moderate Christian family, so I knew about God and all the good stuff and all that kind of stuff. And they said, well, we have a family Bible. Would you like to look at our family Bible? It's over there on the podium. And there's this big, huge, wooden, elaborate podium sort of entering onto their living room area, because we basically ate in the kitchen. And so I go to see this giant, you know, it's 1 foot by 8 inch, a beautiful gilt page Bible that had the leather on the but it was open, and it had the beautiful scrolling, you know, the Gothic print and the beautiful pictures in color. And so I just sort of flipped through it quickly, and I kind of looked at it and I realized that it didn't have the headings of the Bible. It did, like, it didn't look like a Bible. So I actually closed the cover, and on the top, in that leather tooling that they do, were the words Satanic Bible.
Oh, gosh.
This is Christmas dinner I've already eaten. Oh. And imagine what went through my mind at the time.
Get out of there fast.
Exactly. And I just opened, because they had one of those elaborate bookmarks.
Oh.
So I opened it up to where it had been.
Maybe
opened.
You were going to be dinner, Lynn.
Well, we'd already eaten, so I guess that was the appetizer.
You were the dessert, that's right.
Yeah, well, all I could think of, you read Michelle Remembers, and then you'll understand where my brain went.
By the way, that was by a Canadian psychiatrist, Lawrence Pazdar.
There you go. So you read that, yes, because it was, yes, it was a Canadian thing, that which made it even more spooky.
If he's still alive, he might be a great guest, huh?
Phone him up. Anyway, the point was, this is, and it was middle of winter, of course, so you've got thigh high. I took the shortcut home. I as soon as I saw what was going on, I freaked, eh?
I don't blame you. Let me get LA's the quick reaction to that before we go to more calls here. That's kind of scary, LA.
Well, I mean, it is, but, you know, the bottom line is there are covens. I'll just tell you a real quick story.
They're everywhere.
In Malibu. Real quick story. I was a worship leader at a church, Malibu Vineyard, and one of my duties was to get there very early on Sunday morning to set up everything, turn the sound system on, the air conditioning, get everything ready for the musicians, and most of the time I led worship. And I'm walking in, there was like maybe a 30, 40-foot covered walkway which led to the front doors. And this is like 7 o'clock in the morning. And as I'm walking down I'm looking at something in front of the doorway. I'm going, what the heck is that? And I got up to it. It was a circle with a pentagram, a slaughtered dove, and four candles that were still burning. It was a ritual that was done on the steps of that building by a coven that is still in existence in this city. Within a month and a half, that church underwent the worst split I've ever seen. 3,000 people, eventually they lost the building. The pastor was dead in 2 years. So this stuff is very real, and they tap in to the dark powers. I mean, Russ can talk about the summoning, what some of the rituals do, what these people who are engaged in this stuff do, and it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, there's sort of a warning for your listeners.
Russ, were these people trained as children to do what they do as adults?
Yeah, all when you talk about SRAs, and thank you for the dear lady that called in. Michelle and the husband lives on the island right off Vancouver. We have folks there that want us to meet with them, and there's no question what she went through. But now there's dozens and dozens of books similar by the others coming out. She's one of the first generation. So, yeah, when you deal with a real SRA that has programming and split personality, and that's done purposely, by the way, they do that to create multiple abilities, program shooters, programmed sorceress, conjurers. So every personality has a different purpose to serve in rituals in all that they do. So, and again, the dark side looks at them as, hey, these are advanced troops. These are going to be warriors because they have multiple abilities. They're programmed, so they're going to be controlled, and we're going to be able to make them do things. Then demonic presence is released to weaponize that presence and give them superhuman quickness and powers. So every SRA worldwide, whatever generation, all the way down to the 8-year-olds that we're dealing with, it all begins in birth like Lebensborn with the Nazis. It is a spiritually designed, there's rituals behind it. It kind of goes back to Nimrod. Mm. Some talk about he became Gaborim. He became a giant through ritual. Some believe that. So they believe this, George. They believe that they can alter DNA, that they're going to create what the Nazis wanted. They really wanted godmen. So whether we want to believe this or not, that's the attempt in the creation of these individuals to augment them, to turn them into hybrids possibly, to backbreed. And every one of them, it begins in selective breeding childhood.
You know, and these guys wasn't like regular police officers, but this ship was solid, and it had a point to it, you know, on the front, and it like oval shaped, and it was flat at the bottom, you know, and it had two legs, you know, and it was sitting on a low boy over here at mile marker 62. They had to pull over to the side to let the other truck drivers and stuff go. I'm a truck driver. Let the other truck drivers go in the left lane. They pull over to the side. And I'm like, well, let me call you guys, because I knew you guys liked that kind of stuff, you know.
Okay, now let's I got zapped off for a little bit. Russ in L.A., you still with us?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, very strange.
Boy, just when you were getting into something controversial, they came and got me.
No doubt.
That was weird. Yeah. I hope you guys covered for me while I was gone.
We covered you, George. And we want you to go with us to Switzerland. We want you to stand out there and take a look at CERN. You go with us.
So let's get into these very strange, strange things that have been happening. My gosh, it's almost as if they monitor you and then they try to do something. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Hey, George, thank you for taking my call, sir. And Russ in L.A., a pleasure to hear your interview. My question, well, first a comment and then a question. I think it was like 20 years ago, Michael Aquino, who was a United States military officer and also one of the founders of the Luciferian Temple of Set, visited Himmler's Veilsburg Castle, and he was able to persuade the officials there to allow him to stay overnight. And he wrote an essay about that. He said when he stayed overnight in the castle, he did a ritual, a vocal ritual, and his intent was to reactivate the energies, the spirits, etc., of Veilsburg Castle, you know, according to the Temple of Set teachings. And that brings me to my question, which is, satanic ritual in practice is really vocal ritual, one of the voice. And on the other hand, in the New Testament, Jesus in Mark 11:23, that's Mark 11:23, states that if you use vocal prayer and do not doubt in your heart, you can move mountains. Now, I was wondering if either or both of you would comment, is the best defense against dark side satanic vocal ritual is a vocal prayer that can move mountains, as suggested in Mark 11:23.
All right, you take it, Russ.
Sure, I'm glad this has come up. I was there. I stood where Michael Aquino stood. I know him well. We engaged one of his bodyguards. One of his bodyguards warned us. We flew there purposely. I waited 20 years to get to Wadelsburg. We went to the Hall of the Dead. I stood where he stood. I stood where Hitler stood, where Himmler stood, where all of them stood, where the rituals were done. In that chamber is designed for ritual, and it's all audible. Now, I stood there, and you're not allowed to do anything in there, take pictures, but one of the guys said, go down in there and start praying. George, I can just tell you this. I went down there. I did a little Hebrew. I did a little Greek, but I just unleashed prayer like crazy.
Prayer works. Wow. It works.
It was echoing everywhere, but I also prayed against the Wadelsburg working. I prayed to break it. I asked God to break it. The power of God was there. Michael Aquino, who was once the director of the United States intelligence, is one of the darkest adepts. And we have a behind-the-scenes thing going on, and I'm not going to bring it out here.
L.A., since you've been doing this, have you encountered anything that you would consider to be dangerous for you?
Not life-threatening in the sense of, you know, something coming at me. I know Russ has had people, you know, throw knives at him and things like that, and weapons. He deals with, I mean, I've had two encounters. I told you one. The second one was a woman who came up to me when I was speaking and asked if I would pray with her, and I did. And she just asked me a question about SRA multiples. Could they be healed? And I said, yes, they can be, but it takes time. And I went to dinner, and after dinner, this woman manifested, basically, and switched personalities, and
jeez,
a group of us took her to another place on the campus, and we began to pray with her. Now, this woman had a quilt ski jacket on. She had a beanie on her head and very thick glasses. So, I mean, as a guy, she was just sort of unattractive, and you know, just that's the way she looked. And after about an hour and a half, I'll never forget this. Again, your brain looks at it, and you kind of go, what just happened? Part of you goes, that can't be real. What I'm seeing can't have happened, but it did. And about an hour and a half after praying over her and talking to her, she switched personalities, took off the beanie, shook out her hair, took off her jacket, arched her back, and we were staring at a seductress.
We'll be back. Well, next hour, Mark Stavis joins us, of course. We're going to continue our special talk about the occult, so he's going to be with us, and I think you will enjoy him tremendously, as we'll talk about his latest work as well. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're back with Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli talking about their incredible work investigating these strange, strange things that have been happening on this planet. Why here, L.A.? Why here?
Well, you know, Russ, actually, George, I said this in the very beginning. We're engaged in a cosmic struggle. We're engaged in a war where the powers of darkness have usurped mankind's authority on some level, which goes back thousands of years ago. The prince of the power of the air, the rulers of darkness, are the ones who have the title deed of this planet. We are in the midst of a cosmic regime change. The good guy with the hat is going to come riding in on the white horse. And that, of course, is the King of Kings, and Russ will back me up on this. We believe the Messiah, Jesus, will come at some point in the near future, and everything's going to change. And that's, you know, when I say that, it sounds absolutely crazy, and I get that. It just sounds like, you know, what are you smoking, L.A.? I'm not smoking anything. It's a 2,000-year-old prophecy to the book of Revelation. And it also ties in with Psalm 2, which talks about the kings of the earth being assembled. So the book of Revelation, 19:19, And Psalm 2, they coalesce. They work off each other, and yet they're written about 1,000 years apart from each other. So it's incredible to study the prophetic word and realize what's really happening on this planet is the powers of darkness are realizing their time is short. They're ramping up.
They're panicking, aren't they?
That's what we're looking at.
First-time caller Jody in Vero Beach, Florida is with us. Hi, Jody. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't know if you're able to hear me well. I'm on a cell phone.
So far, so good.
Great. I was 12 years old up in Buffalo, New York, and my uncle took me to a place that called Lilydale. And there they did this satanic ritual stuff. And I believe they started a work as far as programming me, because for a little while my uncle lived with our family. It was my parents were split at that time. They were getting a divorce. And so he stayed at my house, at my mom's house, actually. Anyway, I just wondered, I read Russ's first book, and it was, I read it several times, and I actually sent him a couple of letters, and I never heard back from anyone. I wondered, I don't know how to get help or find out what kind of therapy I would need to if there was residual stuff. We moved to Florida not long after that happened. I've been in Florida trying to talk to people in churches or ministers, and I always get pretty much the same thing, that I need to die to self and that I need to get over it.
Are you having episodes, Jody, where this the past remembrance is coming back to haunt you, or what?
Yeah, I do have the memory now. I never remembered it until I was about 50 years old. And so now I'm getting my memories back as far as what happened on that night.
What expert or what can she do, Russ?
Well, listen, I apologize if we missed you. We're a couple thousand emails behind. But listen, if you can write to me tonight, email me again tonight, tomorrow morning, put it in the header, I will contact you freely. We will help you.
That's give out your address, Russ.
Give it out?
Yeah.
Did you say do so?
Yeah, your email address.
Sure. ShatterMailbox@Yahoo.com. ShatterMailbox@Yahoo.com. And, ma'am, we've been to Lilydale. We've been there to track satanic rituals. It is a very deep spiritual place, and I hear what you're saying. We'd love to talk to you, and I know we can help you out.
Okay, thanks, Jody. Hope everything works out. And ShatterMailbox@Yahoo.com.
Yes.
Let's go next to, where do we want to go? Let's go to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael's with us. Hi, Michael.
Hi, George, and thank you so much. This has been a very, very dynamic show. I like the combination of two guests together talking to you. It just keeps it flowing, and it brings out insights that we don't otherwise hear, I think, with just a one-on-one type interview. Just a quick comment there. But Jesus promised us that if we ask for the Holy Spirit, we can count on God to give it to us. And that should apply to anyone with political aspirations, anyone already serving in office. I'm probably the greatest critic of Donald Trump around in the Virginia Beach area. He has a lot of supporters here, and I know a lot of his friends here. But, you know, I would be willing to play the role of a Daniel with this president. I think the worst possible president could be turned around and used by God. Now, the problem with that is I think a lot of evangelicals went into the last election with that idea in mind. Why didn't they instead, L.A. Marzullis, why didn't they instead go into it with the idea that God could fill a Mike Huckabee, an experienced governor who had worked for James Robinson, one of the greatest evangelists of all time? Why couldn't they go into the election with the idea that a Scott Walker, who is the son of a Baptist preacher and who has taken on the most destructive union in America, the teachers' unions, why couldn't they get behind him? Why did they have to wait for a Jerry Falwell to stand up and tell a complete lie about Christ telling the Jews to vote for Caesar, and that be used to get a guy in here whom I'm willing to see turned around, but he obviously has mental problems.
All right, L.A., let's let you react.
I'm going to just say no comment to that.
All right. One thing we don't do is muffle people on the air here.
There you go.
And
I can tell you one thing, though.
Go ahead, Russ.
The undergrounders, the real Luciferi globalists, don't like Trump. They feel that that underground feels that whatever else you think politically, he has kind of pushed them backwards. And so that's very telling. They don't like him.
He's going back up in the polls. As a matter of fact, he's at this point higher than Barack Obama was
right.
At the same time.
Right.
Yes.
But, you know, these polls go up and down. Every time something good happens, up they go. Every time something bad happens, down they go. Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hi, guys. A couple of questions. The Nazis were not pursued in South America. I mean, Maglev made it all the way into the 70s before he drowned, taking a leisurely swim. I know one guy was picked up in Buenos Aires.
That was Adolf Eichmann. They got Eichmann there, I think.
Right, right. And that was in the 1960, which was, well, you know, 15 years later. So that's interesting that despite the Nuremberg trials, there was no pursuit of these guys. Then the second question would be, we're talking about Bohemian Grove and I would assume there's some overlap with the Skull and Bones, but you mentioned world leaders. You were vague on where these leaders might have been from. Would it include Asian leaders, for example, or would it even include corporate leaders, the way things are going these days?
Which one wants that, L.A., Russ?
Well, I'll just mention this part about Bohemian Grove. The targets are political leaders, kings of the earth, media moguls, the wealthy elite, and military people. So that powerful, dark, elitist group that is able to bring all those people there, those are the targets, and that's the biblical picture. The political is to be assimilated, the military is to be assimilated, the wealthy elite and the technological elite is to be assimilated. So that's all part of that underground agenda. And the more that it develops, the more you're going to see the supernatural side. Just below the deep state is the supernatural dark deep state that runs it all. So it's all developing. And by the way, Joe, from Long Island, we're going to be up in your little city areas up there in a Lifting the Veil conference in 8 days. L.A. is going to be there. I'm going to be there. And so hope you can make it to that conference. But think in terms of Nazis, Camp Siegfried up in Long Island, Camp Hero and connections to Montauk, that's all connected to the Nazis and their development. So that you're right on about that. Do a little study of the colony of Dignidad in South America, and you'll see a major Nazi encampment developing super soldiers for 30, 40 years.
How many super soldiers do we have tucked away on this planet now?
I can tell you what I believe, and if you need me to back it up, I can do that. I would say intact, those like the four, like what you saw in Vegas, that guy did not do that by himself. He could not control himself. There are people that handled him, and you saw there a programmed shooter do what they do. That's the damage. Now, I'm going to tell you, United States alone, I will estimate intact and able to go, You're talking well over 5 million.
5 million?
Well over.
Are they in the military?
They are in the military. Here's what we've tracked it. We've tracked it for years. I've been to 90 cities. We've researched it. We've engaged hundreds of them. The SRAs, and what they call themselves is chosen ones, programmed. Every one of them has a programmed shooter and fighter and so forth inside. They're in every city, every township, every location in the United States, by design.
Let's go to Gordon in Lakeland, Florida now. Hey, Gordon, go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, George, mm-hmm. L.A., Russ. Listen, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, the King James says a measure of penny for a wheat, but the Amplified Version, looking at the note, says it'll take a whole day's wages for a whole day's food, in other words, a denarius. And now I want to get your take on this and on my theory. I think that it's a combination of either contaminated food oppressive governments, or us spending the dollar on a lot of things like foreign wars, credit card debt, college debt, which is almost 10% of total debt, by the way, house debt. And so, in other words, a combination of us taxing and spending overage, oppressive government overage, and possibly a food shortage, maybe with contaminated food or something along those lines. I'd like your take to see whether I'm right and did I miss anything. And I'm going to stay on the line in case you have a question of me. Thank you.
LA?
Sure. We've worked on Revelation 6. I've done an entire book on the whole thing's out there. It's all free. And listen, white horse, the Antichrist. Red horse, the black awakening chaos. The black horse, the economic and food chain collapse and control. Pale green horse. So they all go together. And you're right about that, but it's even worse than you've explained. It'll be worse than you've explained. And ultimately, it's about control. Because once you move to the next pale green horse, one-fourth of mankind is gone by pestilence, by the famine, by skirmishes of war, and by the pharaoh, the beasts, the hybrids that are coming.
Don't these deep state elitists, Russ, have anything better to do?
They could, but listen, we face them face-to-face. You got to understand there are those that really honestly embrace that side. Like, I embrace God. I love God. I love Jesus. You know that, George. That's where I'm at, fully. They fully embrace. See, they call him Lucifer because they think of him as the light bearer, the supreme one. So they might not look at him. They don't look at him as the ugly one. But they're also deceived by a supra being that has drawn them in, that has lied to them. But once you go so far, there is a point of no return.
L.A., the book of Revelation, the apocalypse, Armageddon, are we close?
Yeah, I think we're really close. I think all the signs are here. Everything is set to go. I mean, you know, you go back, like, say, 50 years, and if I were to tell you, you know, we're going to have a car with a little chip in it, and you can go anywhere on the planet and stick this car in a machine, and you'll be able to get money and do things with it, you'd look at me like, well, that's impossible. That'll never happen. We're here. I mean, the idea of Russ was talking about AI earlier. And what's dangerous about that is it's life. I mean, it's intelligent life on some planet that's here, and a demonic entity can interface with that.
Sure,
and that's,
can.
That's incredible, but that's where it can go. So this whole AI thing and these sex bots and all this stuff. I mean, we are right in a window of time, which is absolutely unprecedented in my opinion.
Noel in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Noel. Go ahead.
Yeah, how's it going? How do you sue someone for an MK Ultra plan?
How do you sue someone for that? What
yeah,
do you mean?
To get evidence in the apartment.
Well, you can go to FOLA and get stuff. You can sue because they did it in Canada against Cameron, and they actually got money. You can go against it, but remember this: MK Ultra is 50, 60 years old. What's left of the information is very old, so I'm going to tell you right
away
now, it's
too.
Be hard to do it,
and it's probably hidden away somewhere.
Mm. Well, yeah, because they've developed. It's newer. It's more advanced. Today's programmed shooters that use demonic presence as weaponization far more advanced than 50 years ago.
L.A., we've got 35 seconds left. Would you give out your website, please?
It is lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net, and I will be at the Lifting the Veil Conference with Russ August 9th to the 11th, and that's on Long Island. And we're going to be talking about all this stuff. So, if you want to hear more about it, come out to the conference.
And, Russ, give out your site, please.
Thank you, George. Shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. Everything's there, contact information. And I really hope the dear lady from Florida contacts
us. And that email one more time is?
Shattermailbox@yahoo.com.
Okay, very good. Thank you both. Appreciate you being on the show. L.A., you know, you're always a regular invited guest on the show. And, Russ, thank you so much for what you've done. Up next, we're going to continue with our occult theme. Mark Stavish joins us with his latest work. Get ready on Coast to Coast AM.